How is my favorite bartender?
Disappointed. Did you know? Organic Pop-Tarts are in no way, and I mean no way, good for you. That's disappointing.
You might have known that from the fact that they were organic Pop-Tarts, so you knew they were lying from the start, because one of those words doesn't work.
Correct, because there's 30 grams of sugar in one half of one.
But it's organic sugar.
Yes, you understand. You understand. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. I think I need a beverage.
What can I get for you?
What do you got that's good today?
I'd avoid anything with a pineapple. They're playing Super Bowl in the back, and it's a tropical crime scene over there.
I'll just take a beer, thanks.
You got it. You here to meet someone today?
Indeed I am. They should be showing up any moment now.
Hold on one second. Let me take care of the person down at the other end. Hey, how you doing? What's it going to be today? Who? The guy at the end of the bar? That's David. Or everyone just calls him D-Fish. He's an all-purpose business talker. From speaking to training to writing books to podcasting, he's always talking to somebody or other about business or beer or what they're listening to on their headphones. You never know which way it's going to go, but it's always interesting. In fact, why don't you go over there and join them?
What's up? Welcome back to the B3 Podcast. I'm glad that you could join us for another round of interesting conversations with interesting people. Today, I'm joined by my friend Peter Macklin. Peter is a talented and prolific actor and writer based out of New York City. By the way, he's pretty humble. I actually added the adjectives. Here's a taste of what we get into.
But at a certain point, very quickly in the acting world, it's not really about talent anymore because everyone's talented.
I was excited to have Peter on the show because a lot of his work focuses on current issues and trends, so I knew that he'd have some thought-provoking ideas for us, and he did not disappoint. My name is David J.P. Fisher, but everyone just calls me D. Fish. I'm an author, speaker, and business coach, but most importantly, today, I'm your host on Beer, Beats, and Business. So let's get going.
Well, yeah, you want your material to reach the intended target audience, you know, so whoever or whatever you're writing for, you have to find the best platform for it.
Gotcha. So do you actually take that into account now when you start new projects, or do you let the, I'm just kind of curious about your process. Like, do you think, oh, I want to put something out on maybe like YouTube or some video platform and that influences how you write? Or do you just go, hey, I want to start working on a project and then figure out where it fits after that?
Well, I think your sort of process happens very quickly as far as that part is concerned. But the way I work is that, you know, hey, I want to write something about X. What's the proper platform for X?
Okay.
You know, so if I want to write something, you know, kind of slapstickish or even, you know, YouTube and platforms like that are very useful for very contemporary things.
Sure.
And also very sort of, I don't, without, you know, making a huge judgment value on it, but very sort of not deep things, you know, very funny, like sitcom-ish.
The 2 minutes, right? Boom, boom, that's it.
Exactly. Or I could be wrong. You know, I'm sure there are very successful 2 minute dramas, you know, out there. In fact, I know there are because there are some commercials are like that, you know. So these, you know, thoughts are always around to break, and that's probably adds to people's creativity as well, you know, like how can I break the norms for this, let's say, 2 minute YouTube video and make a very sublime piece of art in 2 minutes, you know. I think that's part of people's process now also, is how can I surprise people on whichever platform I'm using.
Gotcha. Because you mentioned before the idea of sending in an audition by video. How has the actual collaboration of the art form changed because of this connectivity that we now have?
You know, that's such a great question, because, you know, my first thought was that, you know, before things were very competitive and very sort of non-personal in this very collaborative situation. And I'm talking specifically about acting.
Okay.
But they've become less personal with this, with these, you know, new advents of technology, because now everyone, I mean, everyone feels it, you know, down to a dating app. If you get swiped, what is it, left or right, whichever one, you're dismissed. Yeah. You know? So it's the same way. It's even, I don't know if it's worse or what, but it's the, you get swiped whichever direction is the dismissal swipe, you know? So before, at least you were in the room with the people, so they couldn't actually swipe you, but now you're not even in the room and they swipe you, you know? When I was on the sort of the casting end, casting or helping to cast this short film that I wrote, it was the same thing. You know, we're sitting around in someone's office and looking at clips and saying, no, 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 yes, no, 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 you know? Uh-huh. So I've seen it on both sides, and, you know, I'm definitely, I don't want to say victim of it, but I think that's what it is. If you're acting all the time and you're auditioning all the time, you fall victim to being swiped, dismissed.
Interesting. So I'm glad you brought that up. So I was talking with somebody who I know, you know, well, Aaron Munoz, a fellow yes. actor and writer. And, you know, he was sharing part of his story of being able to actually create in Tennessee, right? Not a hotspot necessarily of right. theater, but because of the connection, being able to, you know, reach out to people, do things like, you know, videos. But you bring up a really interesting point where in some ways it has created a little more distance because it is so easy to kind of make it impersonal, right? I never thought of casting. I mean, maybe eventually there'll be an app for casting plays, right? Where it is just swipe left, swipe right.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's in essence what it is anyway. You know, I guess maybe the dating world is caught up to the acting world in unfortunate ways. But, you know, you walk in, you do a monologue, and you're swiped left.
Right.
Or am I using the directions correctly? I think left is dismissed. Also, for the future of this conversation, swipe left, you're dismissed.
I have no idea either. So yeah, we'll go with it. I like it.
Yeah. So I mean, that's what happens. You're swiped left constantly, you know, and that's being not used and not cast and not hired. And who knows, you might be, you know, have done a great audition and you'll be used in a future project, you know, that always happens. But yeah, I understand how Aaron, you know, what Aaron was talking about, because he is in Tennessee, and I'm sure that has made the casting world smaller for him, because the geographic distance is lessened
right,
quite a
right.
bit, because you can just send it in. But I'm talking, well, I'm based in New York.
Sure.
I'm not making any comparison between New York and Tennessee. However, maybe I am. but New York, you know, you're in the same city with these people, making the decisions. You can be anywhere in your living room, whether it be Tennessee, New York City, or, you know, Zimbabwe, doing an audition and sending it in. And that definitely makes the world a lot smaller and a lot more convenient for a lot of people.
But at the same time, a lot harder, right? Because now you used the phrase before, double-edged sword, right? It makes it geographically much easier. But now let's say you as an actor in New York, which used to be, I know, one of the epicenters in LA, and then maybe even a little bit my town of Chicago.
Oh, Chicago's awesome.
But you used to just be competing against the people who were there. Now you're competing with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people for the same role.
You can, yeah. I mean, and, you know, because everyone has, yes, in theory you are. However, I think, you know, because there's the middleman of the agent sort of
helps or hurts.
Helps, like, narrow down, you know, you're not competing against hundreds, you're competing against maybe 40. However, the other 40 are top-notch people, you know? So at a certain point, I mean, this should go without saying, or maybe not, but at a certain point, very quickly in the acting world, and a lot in the writing world as well, it's not really about talent anymore, because everyone's talented. So,
okay.
Oh, absolutely. Like, when you're in school, let's say, you know, studying acting, whatever, you know, you're getting, I guess, graded or critiqued on your talent and your output. But once you're in the real world, the people who aren't necessarily, I don't know, have their, I don't know, maybe aren't as facile in their acting ability. We'll go sure. that way. Quickly leave the business or drop out. You know, it's very rare that you have someone who stays in the business who is not cast at all ever and not talented, because that you just don't make any money. You don't survive that way as an actor.
So it's basically like the talent just becomes table stakes.
Yeah. So after a while, everyone's talented. So you're choosing between, you know, whether that person's mouth curls and, you know, one way or the other way, or eye color or hair texture or whatever, you know, that's primarily for TV and film. But yeah, you're basing your the people who you want to cast on these qualities that you want the character you've devised to have.
Gotcha. Well, that's interesting, because I think that when we look at this connectivity, and, you know, it's again kind of the theme, one of the things we often feel is that democratization of the of communication of these all these platforms means that the talented person who wouldn't normally have been successful now can be. And there's kind of the converse of it, which is, hey, you know what? There's just a lot of talent out there. Mm-hmm. So now anybody can be talented and have access. So now in some ways, the way you make decisions is much more superficial.
It can be. Yeah. A lot of times it is. And that's unfortunate or fortunate, depending on whichever way you're looking at it. But yeah, I everything you just said is true. The converse is now the verse is the, you know, the underbelly has become the belly. So absolutely. This is a very interesting conversation. I haven't thought about things like this in this way before. So I'm happy to be here thinking about this.
Hey, you know what? We have achieved our goal.
Bing, bing, bing.
Awesome. Well, hey, you know what? That's actually maybe a good place to pause for a second and switch our attentions to a few other topics. But while we are paused, I do want to let everybody know that you are listening to Beer, Beats, and Business. I am your host, David Fisher. Everybody just calls me D Fish. If you like what you're hearing, please give us a rating on iTunes or your favorite podcatcher app, however you want to call it. If you want to tell me how you're liking this, or if you have any questions, or you want to get involved in the conversation, the best place to hit me up is Twitter. D Fish Rockstar is my handle. And my guest today, I'm very excited to have Peter Macklin on. He is a very talented and prolific actor and writer based out of New York City. By the way, I added those adjectives, not him, because he is also very, very humble. But Peter, what's the best way for people to find out more about your work and what you do?
Well, there's my website, www. You don't have to say that anymore. It's just petermacklin.com. petermacklin.com. You can use your abacus and set it to 3+5, and I will magically pop up. What else? I'm on Twitter, and I think I'm at Peter Macklin. I'm also public on Facebook, so you can look for me on Facebook too.
Awesome. Go find his work. It's fantastic. So switching gears from deep conversations about the future of art, here's what I want to talk about. What's your favorite beer you're drinking lately?
You know, I'm getting into IPAs. I'm like hugely an IPA beer guy now.
You're my nemesis. I love it, because I'm the anti IPA. No, and it's totally okay, right? All beer is good.
Like watered down Bud Light?
No, gosh, no. Oh my goodness, no. I like the dark stuff, the stouts, the porters. Great. I can never get behind hops. You know, it's. I always say that they're a preservative, not a flavoring. But you got to have strong stances on something. What's some of your, so you like the strong stuff. You like the bitter, huh?
I do. I keep in mind, as I said, it's sort of a new thing, but I'm diving headfirst into it. Really, if I see an IPA on the menu, I get it, no matter what it is.
What caused this? What caused this dive? And by the way, that's a good thing to dive into. Any beer is a good beer to dive into, in my opinion.
I agree.
What caused that? Like, that's a big switch.
What caused it? That's a good question. I think one day I was like, I'm going to try an IPA, and it was a bold flavor, and I liked it quite a bit. I think it's not anything more deep than that.
Love it.
I did encounter, I went to a bar a week and a half ago in the city and I asked for an IPA and he said, no, we only have APA. And I was like, what is this? And he didn't know. So I Googled it and I told him too, the bartender. And APA is American
Pale Ale,
which I had no idea.
They usually tend to be a little milder, I found.
Well, this one was the one I had was milder. So I drank it down and I went to another place and had an IPA.
Is there in your adventures lately, an IPA that stands out that you're enjoying, or are you just liking the whole slew of them?
See now I guess if there's a Goose Island, I will have a Goose Island.
Oh, all right. Hometown heroes. Very good.
I do like, Lagunitas. Founders IPA is good. And the new one at this place I go to is Big Daddy. And hey, anything that's called Big Daddy, I'm down for.
I love it. And by the way, you just mentioned, I'm not a huge IPA fan, but many of my friends are. And you just kind of checked off some of the top IPA producers out there. So you're not going to go wrong with any of those.
I may have checked them off because those are the only ones I know. Like I would... You know, actually, you brought up Aaron Munoz. I recently went to see his fantastic show. I'm plugging it. It was in Massachusetts in Lowry, Massachusetts. Anyway, at the
Bowery Theater.
Yes, thank you very much. And there, we went out and I had this raspberry sour. I'm not sure if it was an IPA even, but it was delicious. And I don't even have the name, so maybe you can just delete this whole thing because it went nowhere.
No, I love it. Hey, you know, as most bar conversations do, it goes nowhere.
It's
fantastic the entire time that it goes absolutely nowhere. So, all right, I like it. The other thing, go check out some West Coast IPAs. Again, they're not my thing, but if you're digging the IPAs, Stone, it's where Lagunitas was from originally. I mean, they still are, but yep, Stone is one of the granddaddies.
Okay.
That's a good place to go. And I always like to talk music. So, we were talking before, and I got to find this out. Opera? What's up with opera? I love it. But what?
Oh, do you? Do you now? There was like
no. I love that you're listening to opera. It's not my thing.
Well, let me tell you. Okay, it's a long story that I'm going to distill into a very short story. I hope. A few years ago, I wrote a play that got passed to this director who was actually very big in opera. She, at that point, took over this opera company and started doing a musical. Keep in mind, I'm not a musical person. I'm more of a Shakespeare contemporary, you know, I don't really sing. Anyway,
right.
So she hired me for the summer at this, at Glimmerglass Festival.
Okay.
No opera, no Glimmerglass. To do two shows there, one Annie Get Your Gun, in which I
was in that.
Who are you?
In high school, I was one of the show operators. I think I was a freshman. I had a fake mustache.
if there's not a fake mustache in Annie Get Your Gun, it's not Annie Get Your Gun.
Yeah,
you have to have a lot of fake mustaches.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyways, I'm just excited that we now have a theater thing in common. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. That's hilarious. So I was in Annie Get Your Gun, but I was also in, I had never seen an opera before. So I was in Carmen. I was in my first opera before I'd ever seen an opera. People who know that Glimmerglass is also where operatic superheroes live and get created and work. Which I did not know going in. I knew something of it, but now I definitely know, because after that experience, I gotta tell you, if you're involved in an opera and then around these people who are like these superhero opera singers, your taste in music has to be forever changed for the better. And that's what happened to me. And you know, I'm not gonna say that, you know, I can't listen to a contemporary piece of music and think it's, you know, razors to my ears, because no, I see that and can feel that, you know, when a music is good and the song is good. However, a good opera is like I don't know. If you want to make a stupid analogy, it's like the best steak in the world versus a Big Mac. You know what I mean? It's gotcha. Like your music vocabulary or your ears vocabulary is just forever changed. And that's happened to me. Okay. So now, you know, I live very close to the Metropolitan Opera and I try and go, you know, whenever I can. And sometimes I even see friends that I know in the opera because of that summer at Glimmerglass. So,
cool.
I gotta tell you, I can listen to, you know, really great music that I love from growing up and, you know, that is around now, but I gotta tell you, opera changes your life. It does.
Well, now you're making me want to go find somebody who knows opera and then go to the opera and have them explain it.
Well, go to it and experience it and then have it explained later, because the experience of it is very different. You don't need an explanation. You'll find you'll go to the opera. Okay, the first opera that I recommend you go to is Carmen. It was my first opera that I was in. And it's very accessible. It's very, you understand everything, you know, that happens. And the music, first of all, will recognize pretty much like, I would say 65 to 70% of the score because of it's used in contemporary stuff all the time.
Okay. Yeah.
So you'll be like, oh my God, I totally know this and I love it. I just didn't know what it was. And you'll find that for a good majority of the operas. Now I gotta say, or I will put my foot down for a lot of, you know what? We're gonna leave it there. I'm gonna stop right
there.
All right,
yeah. All right. You sold me. All right, I'll have to check some out.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I love it. It's similar, but not even close to similar to an experience I had where, this isn't even music. I never understood the sport of rugby.
Uh-huh.
And I was over, my brother lives in Ireland. I watched the game and he is into rugby. I watched it with him next to me, sharing his passion for the sport.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, not only do I get the emotion of it, but I understood it. And now I'll watch it all the time.
Oh, so, see? Yeah.
All right, you sold me. I will try opera. I'm going to put that on my list of things to experience.
Well, in Chicago, you have Chicago Lyric Opera.
I've actually been there once, but I saw, it's not a pure opera. It's Summertime and Porgy and Bess.
Porgy and Bess, yes.
So I saw that. So I guess that's like half opera.
Right. And did you like it?
I did.
Okay. Well, then the next podcast we do in a year and a half,
I'm going to tell you all about Carmen.
And Carmen, going to see Carmen, yeah.
Done. All right. I think we've covered the bases. So Peter, I ask all of my guests at the end of the show, if you could give the listener one tip to make today just a little bit better, what would your tip be?
Oh, wow. Vote.
All right, cool. I love it. Yeah. Leave it at that. Peter, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for being on with me today.
It's a treat. Thank you so much for having me.
As always, thanks for stopping by. You can find show notes and links to the topics in this episode at beerbeatsandbusiness.com. You can also share this episode through social media and leave reviews through iTunes, Stitcher, or any of your favorite podcasting services. This episode, like all others, is brought to you by our regulars over at Patreon. If you'd like to be one of the people with your own spot at the bar, we'd love to have you. Visit patreon.com/B3 and become a regular today. Want to get in on the conversation? Easy. Send DFish a message on Twitter at DFishRockstar, and we'll save a spot for you at the bar for the next Beer, Beats, and Business.
I think we had a good test run last time. You know, we got all the kinks out. You had a dress rehearsal.
My favorite part was when I talked for 5 minutes and then realized nothing was recorded and you were gone and I was just talking about nothing. So hopefully this will be better.